An evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object met my sight and stopped my wild career. So hymn 105, and we're going to ask you to stand as we sing together, please. We word of prayer together, please. Let's just lift our hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask at the very beginning of the meeting you'll come and be with us. We pray for your presence to be sensed and known by all that are gathered here. We want to ask thee, Father, to be with us and amongst us tonight. We remember those that went to Emmaus and the Saviour walked with them. The scriptures tell us that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And Lord, we pray you'll draw near to us tonight. We ask that just now we'll be conscious the Lord is here, that we'll sense the Lord in the midst. We pray you'll come and fill the house tonight with your presence and with your glory. We ask thee, Father, to come and put your hand upon the gathering. Come and lead us through the service. We want, Father, as we're bowed in prayer, to give to thee the praise of our hearts. We think of the many blessings that we receive so faithfully, bountifully, from your hand every day. We acknowledge, Father, we confess, that often we take those blessings for granted. We receive your goodness, we receive your provision, and we give little thought to it. And Lord, we want to acknowledge that you're the God that gives us every day our daily bread, that it's in thee that we live and move and have our being. We thank you, Father, for how you have blessed us. We thank you how you are blessing us, even at this time. We want to cry for your continued blessing upon our lives and upon our neighbours, just in coming days. We know, Father, even as we come to meetings such as this, that the devil would want to distract us and even cause our minds to be on other things. He'd want to disrupt our thoughts even at this time. And Lord, remember, even the scriptures tell us of Joshua the high priest standing before the Lord and Satan at his very right hand to resist him. Lord, we want to ask that you'll bind the strong man. We pray you'll keep the devil from this place tonight. We pray that you'll give us a hedging round about in the precious blood of the Lamb. Lord, we often use those words, but we bring them to thee as our cry tonight, as our prayer. We want to know a time in your house this evening when we're shut in with the Lord, when we're shut in with God, and when all the things of this world and all the things of this life are shut out. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to be here in your house tonight. Lord, we're saddened by the indifference that there is in our land at this time to the things of God, in a land that has been so blessed, and a land that has been so favoured, a land that has known so much of the reviving work of God upon it. And Lord, we're conscious that we need that reviving again, that we live in a land that is barren spiritually. So I want to pray, Father, come down upon us, come down upon this meeting tonight. We plead that the Spirit of God will descend mightily upon the service, come down even upon our hearts. We ask thee, Father, to own this meeting this evening. We want to pray that you'll speak to us in the service tonight. We pray, Father, there'll be a word for every one of us. We pray there'll be a challenge for our hearts. We do thank you for our sister Miss Walsh that has come amongst us this evening, and we thank you, Father, for a life that has been devoted to the work of God, to the service of Christ. We thank you, Father, for a life that has been given especially in bringing the gospel to the children, to the boys and girls, to the young people. We thank you for the gifts that you've bestowed upon her sister. We thank you for the zeal that she has in that work, in seeking to go forth to bring the children to faith in Christ. We want to pray, Father, that you'll encourage her much in her labours at this time. We do thank you for your healing touch upon her, even in recent weeks and months following the surgery that you had towards the end of last year. Thank you for bringing her safely through that surgery. Lord, remember that the psalmist said, you know our frame, you know our bodies, you know the needs that we have, you know the continued healing touch that our sister requires just at this time. We ask you to grant that to her. We pray that she'll be in health and strength. Remember that John said, wish above all things that thou mayest be in health and prosper, even as thy soul prospers. So Lord, we ask thee to keep your hand upon her sister and her neighbours among the children. We pray open new doors to her. We pray that new schools, we pray that new opportunities to speak to boys and girls. We think of even the ministry on the internet, the FPC Kids. What a vast door, great door, and effectual has been opened in that regard. And Lord, we pray that it will be the means of speaking to boys and girls, not just in our own province, in our own land, but even all across the earth. Pray our sister will feel at ease and at home with us tonight in the service. Pray she'll know the Lord with her, the nearness of the Lord. We pray, Father, that you'll make it easy for her to speak in the service tonight. We're conscious, Father, that there are some meetings that it's easier to speak in than others when we sense a stillness and know the Lord being near. We pray you'll give her, sister, such a meeting, even as she comes and speaks to us in just a little while. Put your hand upon the gathering. We pray you'll use the testimony this evening. We thank you for how we were blessed last Sunday evening through that special word of testimony that our brother gave. We rejoice, Father, that you saved him from the darkness, the superstition of Romanism, how that encouraged our hearts as we think of our own city, a city steeped in Romanism, as we think of a city that is in the grip of ecumenism. And Lord, we pray that what you did in Gregory's life, that you'll do again and again in the lives of men and women, even in this city of ours at this time. Oh God, bless the outreaches of this church, bless the ministry of this church. We pray, Father, that you'll give us soul-winning days. We ask earnestly, Father, that we'll be fishers of men. We pray that you'll bless this year in the winning of souls, in the bringing of the lost to Christ. We pray that significant people in this city might be saved by your grace and turned to Christ. We pray, Father, that there might be such a move of God in soul winning that there will be a real stir of God once again, even across this city of ours. Lord, we're mindful of brethren and sisters in other land that are in great need tonight. We want to remember those in persecuted lands, the persecuted church. We're mindful especially, Father, tonight of the land of Ukraine and your people there. Lord, we pray draw near. May they be especially conscious of the Lord's presence with them. Remember that the churches in the book of the Revelation, the Lord walked in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks. Lord, be in the midst of your people there. Encourage them with a real special visitation of the Lord. We pray for your preserving hand upon them. We pray for the preserving hand of God to be upon the testimony of the gospel in that land. We pray, Father, that these events will not be allowed of thyself to hinder, to stamp out the testimony of the gospel, the light of God in that land. Remember, Father, all that labour faithfully, all missionary organisations that are seeking to give support, even at this time. We remember what we considered this morning, Father, from your word, that even how you can rule and overrule in the lives even of the most powerful of rulers. The word of God says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And Lord, we want to pray that you might turn at this time the heart of that Russian tyrant. We pray that you'll turn his heart away from war and away from bloodshed. We pray that there might be the intervention of God. We remember, Father, whenever the armies of Assyria gathered around Jerusalem in the days of King Hezekiah, that you caused other events to take place that drew that army away from the city, even at that time. And Lord, we believe that you're the same God. You can do the same even in our day. You can cause other events to arise unexpectedly that would divert the attention of that government away from that war at this time. We ask thee, Father, to hear our prayers and to hear our cries. You're the one that sits in the heavens. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. You sit upon the circle of the earth. You're the Almighty God, and Lord, we cry to thee. Even at this time, we remember that your word says you bring wars to cease to the very ends of the earth. We're conscious that those words apply to a day that is yet future, but Lord, we ask thee to bring this war to an end, even at this time. So Lord, hear our cries and speak to the hearts of men and women, even through these uncertain times. Your word says about men's hearts failing them for fear of those things that are coming upon the earth. And we ask, Lord, as men fear and are concerned, we pray that they'll turn to the word of God for comfort and the word of God for direction. even at this time. So answer these, our prayers and our cries. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'd like to take the opportunity just to give you all an earnest word of welcome along to our Sabbath evening gospel service. We're very glad to see all that have gathered with us. We thank you sincerely for your presence with us this evening. We thank you for coming along to this gospel service, especially this meeting with a special word of testimony. We've generally had a testimony month in February every year. We've limited this year just to two testimonies. Remember the word that our brother gave last Sunday evening. It was a blessing to all that were gathered. If you weren't able to be with us, we encourage you to take time to listen to that testimony. You'll be blessed and challenged. Young Gregory Gibson from our Ballymoney Church, and he's a second year student in the Whitfield College of the Bible, how the Lord saved him from Romanism, and then how the Lord sustained them as a family through very trying times, especially with the birth of their first child. So we ask you to remember that. Remember that in these days of technology, you can share, if you're on Facebook or if you're able to access Sermon Audio, you can share that with your friends and with others. So that's a good way of spreading the testimony and sowing the seed of the gospel. Remember, please, the meetings this week, Tuesday, the children's meetings here in the church down in Killaloe, both of them on Tuesday night at 6:45. The Wednesday midweek service at 8 o'clock. I'll be leading and preaching at that meeting myself. Remember the broadcasts on Radio Star Country, 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoons, 981 Medium Wave. And the Lord willing, I'll be bringing the messages. There's five Wednesdays in the month of March. So remember, as we prepare those, that the Lord will guide and give direction, and that he'll continue to use those broadcasts. Remember the Youth Fellowship on Friday night at 8. Miss Gillian Windrum will be giving a missionary report to the young people on Friday night. We want to encourage as many of the young people as possible to come along to the Youth Fellowship. I know that would be a blessing and an encouragement to the leaders. Next Lord's Day, the 6th of March, the Sunday School 10:40, the Bible classes 2, 11:30 and 6:30 the services. Remember the half hour of prayer before the evening service, and the Lord willing, I will be the preacher at both of those meetings. Keep in mind those two events that have been organised by the Youth Council that have asked us to highlight to the congregation. There's a weekend of evangelism training and fellowship. It's for young people between the ages of 16 and 29. It's going to be held at the Portadown Faith Mission Centre just in a couple of weeks, Friday the 11th to the Lord's Day the 13th of March. The cost is £65, and that covers all the food and accommodation. If you'd like to go, you need to submit your application by this coming Friday, the 4th of March. And also the summer camp that's going to be held at the Greenhill YMCA Centre. That's down in Newcastle, just at the Donard Park there. It's for young people between the ages of 12 and 18. There's already 60 young people attending, but Greenhill has kindly offered a few extra spaces. That's going to be held between the 8th and the 12th of August, and all applications need to be in by the end of March, and it's £185 per young person. Remember the Youth Council, the Missionary Council's latest prayer list. There's copies of that at the door, along with the magazines as well. Remember the Reverend Park, Jonathan McCauley, the young man from the Hebron Church, is there out in Romania, visiting the Deborah home and the churches. At this time, remember Dave McCauley, as he leaves Emmanuel in Uganda this coming Tuesday. His 4 weeks are completed. And then the electrical team, along with the Reverend Kerskadden, they're going out on Friday. Our brother Kerskadden will be there until Miss McAfee comes home on furlough. They're going to travel home together on Thursday the 24th of March. The electrical team will finish the installation of the mains electric. They'll be coming home around the 18th of March, leaving the Friday, getting home on the Saturday. Keep in mind, Dave Morrison and his family, that's George and Stephanie's son-in-law, we want to sympathise with them on the sudden death yesterday morning of Dave's mother, Sharon Morrison. We appreciated their children coming along to the Sunday school here. It has been a great shock for the family, the sudden death. Just are coming 58 this April, so just 57 years of age Sharon was. So we want to assure Dave, Catherine, Dave's dad and sister, just the whole family of our deepest sympathy and prayers just at this time. Let me mention for you quickly, just finally, some of the changes that we mentioned this morning, especially for those who weren't able to be with us this morning, changes regarding the lifting of restrictions. Remember, the presbytery has left to teach church to make the decisions with regard to what they feel is the best approach for churches coming out of the restrictions, out of the lockdown. So we will be keeping the congregation seated in every other row for the time being. The tape dividing the seats, it'll be continue to be kept up just for now. The face masks are no longer a legal requirement. It's a matter of personal choice. We know that some people will want to continue to wear the face masks, and we understand that, and we're very happy for you to do that if you so wish to do. At the Sunday morning service, the men will continue to guide the congregation to their seats, as they have been doing so ably over these last months for quite a while now. That will help just to keep everyone spaced out, the distance that is good, just to help us going forward as well. But at the evening meeting and the midweek meeting, the congregation can seat themselves. We will continue to keep the midweek meeting up here for the foreseeable future as well. So on the Lord's Day evening, midweek, you can sit wherever you wish. At the midweek meeting, we ask if you can sit as near the centre as possible. That does help, especially when it comes to the time of prayer and being able to hear just that wee bit better those that are taking place. If there is a larger number on a Sunday evening, some of the men will guide the congregation to their seats. Remember, that would have been the case in normal times anyway. We have taken down all the COVID signs and posters in the church, but we do encourage you to continue to use the hand sanitising stations and continue to give everyone just as much space as possible as you come and go from the meetings and in the services themselves. We do want to continue just to be as cautious and careful as we can. Numbers in the country are still quite high. Remember those families. We have four families just at present that are affected by the COVID and having to isolate because some of the folk from the church here, or some of the members of their family, have taken COVID, tested positive over the last week or 10 days or thereabout. So we do want to be just as cautious as we can. And we do want to respect the views of those who wish to wear the mask and those who wish to continue the social distance just for the next wee while. So just to mention those matters to you this evening again. We're going to come to our second hymn this evening, just before we have our sister come along tonight and bring a word of testimony to us. It's the words of Robert Murray McShane's great hymn, "When This Passing World Is Done, When Has Sunk Yon Radiant Sun, When I Stand With Christ on High, Looking O'er Life History, Then, Lord, Shall I Fully Know, Not Till Then, How Much I Owe." So hymn 380, and we'll stand together. We'll sing the first, the third, and the last verses, 1, 3, and 5 of the hymn, please. We want to welcome very warmly to the meeting tonight Miss Joyce Walsh from the Banbridge congregation. She's a children's evangelist with the Mission Board and has laboured very faithfully among the boys and girls for many years. I say that very gently, not wanting to give the wrong impression, but her sister certainly has been faithful in the work among the children, and the Lord has blessed her greatly. We're looking forward to the word of testimony this evening. We're thankful for the Lord's good hand upon her sister. She had surgery on one of her knees just prior to Christmas, and we're thankful that that has gone well and has been a good success, and she's making very good recovery. I was thinking of that verse in the Psalms where it says that thy youth shall be renewed like the eagle. So her sister will know her youth renewed as a result of the surgery that she's had. So we're looking forward to the testimony, Joyce, and we're going to invite you just to come and bring that wee word of testimony to us just now, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. McMillan. I suppose I should say it's good to be here, but I don't know whether it is or not. But anyway, it'd be a whole lot different if you were all children out there. But anyway, it is good to be here tonight and have the opportunity to share with you. Now, in case you're all wondering, and I'll put you all out of your misery, I've been working under the board for 34 years, and I rejoice in the Lord's goodness all of that time and how the Lord has undertaken and the Lord has helped us. And we rejoice in all of the goodness of God. So just in case you're all wondering, and I don't want you to have a sleepless night thinking, you know, I wonder how long she's worked under the board. So there you go. And if I added Canada in, it would be a bit longer than that, but we're not going down that road tonight. But anyway, like so many who've been brought up in this wee province, Sunday school for us was not an option. You went to Sunday school, and you went to church, and you went to other meetings. Whether you wanted to go or not, you went, and that was it. And as I look back, I can't really remember a time when I didn't know the gospel. And I knew that I needed to be saved, and that if I was to be in God's heaven, I needed to put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. We lived not too far from a gospel hall, and we used to go to the wee Sunday school there on a Sunday afternoon, and of course we learnt a lot from the Word of God, and I thank God for that. And as well as that, there would have been missions held within the gospel hall. And I remember when I was still in primary school going to a gospel mission in the wee hall. And I can remember very clearly God speaking to my heart as a young person. And one of the hymns that they sang very regularly was that hymn, it's in our book, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause. And the hymn chorus goes on to say, at the cross, and so on. And I didn't know the Saviour that it was speaking about. I knew in my heart that there were folks in that meeting, and they were singing that hymn and singing that chorus, and they knew that they were saved, and I knew I wasn't. And I can remember talking to my dad on occasions after those meetings, and, you know, talking to him about the impact that the meetings were having on my life. And my dad would have said to me, well, do you want me to take you to somebody that can help you? Unfortunately, at that particular time, my dad was a backslider, and that was a difficult time in our family. And I said, oh, no, no, not just now. When I was really quite young, my dad taught Sunday school in a wee Methodist church in Donoughmore, out near Newry. And, of course, those were the days when everybody got piled into the car. And they were in the back seat, they were in the boot, and they were everywhere. I often think about it, and I think about the meetings we used to have across in Castle Blaney at Muriel's and Searle's, and youngsters were brought and they opened the doors and the youngsters practically fell out. But that's a bit what it was like. And in that wee church, it's still standing, but there's of course no services in it. It's still standing, and they had the doors on the ends of the pews, and we used to love just opening the doors and shutting them and getting out of that pew and into that pew. And of course my dad wasn't amused at all, especially him teaching Sunday school and his children, you know, in and out of these pews like rats up and down a drain. But when we got home, we knew all about it, because it was the hand of authority on the seat of understanding. And we were told not to do it again. But I think I had a bit of a rebellious streak. And I would have done it again the next Sunday. And of course, again, it was the same treatment when we came home. But I do thank God for the meetings that I was sent to, for the Word of God that I was taught, and for the fact that I was made to realise that I was a sinner and that I needed God's salvation, and that the Lord Jesus Christ had died for me on the cross at Calvary. And I wonder tonight, if you're here and maybe you've heard the same message over and over and over and over again, and tonight you sit in church and you're not saved. You're not saved. And you know, there could come a day when God will stop speaking to you and you will spurn God's day of grace and you will not have the opportunity to be saved. So it's very important that you do take heed to the Word of God. When I was around 13, 14, of course, school and me were never great friends. I regret it now. So young folk that are here, learn all you can when you're at school, not like me. I grew up on a farm, and if my dad wanted some help with the sheep or with the cattle or whatever, I was forced to volunteer. I didn't mind staying home from school. As I sometimes tell the children, and I shouldn't, but I sometimes tell the children I loved school, especially when it was closed or when it come to home time. Those were the times that I really loved. But one, I can remember it like it was yesterday. One Saturday morning in the month of November, I was with my dad and we were going to look at some animals and do what needed to be done. And we drove up this road, and there was a caravan sitting in the middle of a field. And I said to my dad, I said, "What's that caravan doing there?" And he said to me, "Oh, those are the workers from Faith Mission." I said, "From where?" Because that was the first I had heard of Faith Mission. My dad over the years had been to Faith Mission meetings. And he said, "Oh yes, there's two girls there and they've come to preach and they're going to be using the Orange Hall." And I said, "Right." Little did I know that in a few years to come, I would be living in something similar, quite dilapidated, but sure, you get on with it. But anyway, we started to attend those meetings. My dad, as I say, was a backslider at that particular time. And my dad used to take us. And there were nights my dad was other places. And we used to walk. It might have been 3-4 miles. We would have walked to go to those meetings. And as I sat in those meetings, God again began to speak to me. I began to realize that I was a sinner. It was the message that I had heard again and again and again. And I knew my own personal need of Christ. And during those meetings, God brought conviction to my young heart and to my young life. And one afternoon in December of that year, the Faith Mission Pilgrims, as they were called then, they're now called Workers, but back then they were called Pilgrims. And I can remember them coming to visit in our house one day. As per normal, I wasn't at school, but they came and they visited. And it was that afternoon that I came to trust in Christ as my Saviour. They were sitting in our wee sitting room. And I can remember to this day, I could take you to the very spot in that house. We're not in that house anymore. But I could take you to the spot in that house where I knelt beside a sofa. And I knelt a sinner. And I got off my knees, saved by God's grace. Nothing in me, but the grace of God. And that day, my sins were forgiven. My life was washed and cleansed in the precious blood of Christ. And I knew that my sins were forgiven. When the Lord Jesus came to see Martha and Mary after the death of Lazarus, the word was sent to them, "The Saviour has come and calleth for thee." And I'm so glad that the Saviour came and he called for me. And he called me to salvation and he brought me to himself. And I thank God for that tonight. Of course, that was only the beginning. And I like to think of it as the beginning of an adventure with God. And truly it has been. I just rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven. And I remember I did go to school the next day. I should have stayed at home maybe, but I went the next day. And I remember telling some of my friends, and they weren't too pleased that I, you know, got saved. And oh, you're a goody-goody now. And I think they thought I had got a bump on the head the day before that had made me somehow weird and peculiar. But anyway, the Lord gave me Christian friends, and I thank God for that. And for the young folk that are growing up in the meeting tonight, you seek out God's friends as you grow up, and God will bless you and enable you and help you. After we were saved, now there might be some in the meeting tonight that might know this, and I should say this. One of those pilgrims that led me to the Lord and preached during those meetings was the late Merrill Spence, the wife of Cecil. And she was one of those that preached in those meetings. I don't know if any of you know William Smiley. He's the brother of the Reverend Alan Smiley, who's in our church in Ballygan. Well, William's Alan's brother, and William's wife was the other pilgrim during those meetings. And God blessed them during those meetings. And there were quite a number of people saved during that particular mission. There was a prayer union started in the hall by the Faith Mission, and of course we faithfully attended that, and that helped us grow to sit in with the elderly Christians and hear them pray and learning how to pray. It was really most wonderful. And there was a man that used to come out from Banbridge to take those meetings, and his name was John Dixon. And I don't know if any of the older folk maybe would have known of John Dixon. John's in the glory now, and what a reward he's gone home to. John lived in Banbridge, and on a Saturday night, John would have had a meeting in the Orange Hall for young people. It would have started way back years before when there would have been nurses in Banbridge Hospital. And he would have started a meeting on a Saturday night, especially for the nurses and for any other young people that wanted to come. And so this meeting was still continuing. There were no nurses when we were there because, of course, the hospital had closed. But anyway, John used to get us to Banbridge on a Saturday night. There were those that took us. And we went for a meeting in the Orange Hall. And John would have preached. And we would have prayed. He would have had a time of prayer. And then we went out into the open air on the bridge in Banbridge. And such a learning experience. Such a learning experience. John was a tremendous, tremendous man. He was single, but he just had such a burden for us young folk. It was really unbelievable. And after a bit, you'd have been standing out on the bridge, and you'd have been singing away, and the next thing, John would have turned to you and he said, "Joyce, it's your turn next to give a word of testimony." And your knees began to knock and your heart began to beat, and you thought, "I'm going to drop dead here on this spot." But the Lord enabled us and helped us. John would have taken us, he made up a choir of the young folk that were going. Some of us couldn't sing worth a hill of beans, but sure, that didn't matter. John would have taken us round meetings all over the countryside. Remember one night we were going to a meeting in Monaghan Orange Hall, and we were stopped at the border going across, and in a minibus, and it was all right. But John was playing away on the accordion, and we were singing. That's where we did our practicing. We were singing, and John was playing, and the wee man looked in through the door of the minibus, and he says, "Boys, I tell you, he's well on before he gets there. I don't know what he'll be like when he's coming home." But the Lord blessed. It was marvellous. And those meetings, we learnt lots. And the Lord taught us much. And I rejoice in that tonight. And that's what we need. That's what our young people need. They need that encouragement of fellowship together and keeping together and encouraging one another in the things of God. John would have preached to us, and he would have told us that God had a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. And it was important to seek the will of God for your life. And I became very conscious of that. And as a young Christian, I did want to do the will of God. And I did want to be where God wanted me to be. And I began to pray about it and seek the Lord as to what he would have me do. I wasn't very good academically, but I got through. But I really wanted to know what the Lord wanted for me. And I remember one occasion, there was a lady came home from Canada. She was working with Faith Mission in Canada. She was from the Banbridge area. And Hester came home, and Hester spoke about Canada. And my heart was challenged as a young person. And I thought, wonder is that where the Lord would have me to be? And then I thought, no, I couldn't go to Canada. That's far too far away. And I said, Lord, you couldn't possibly want me to go there. How could I leave all my family? I had 7 siblings. And, of course, my mum and dad. And I thought, I couldn't possibly go to Canada. No, no. And I put it to the back of my mind. But, you know, the Lord kept bringing various things before me. And I remember going to the Faith Mission Convention in Bangor. And I remember sitting in the Methodist church, and God challenged my heart like you would not believe. And that afternoon, I said, yes, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. And so, to cut a very long story short, how the Lord guided and directed, I ended up in Faith Mission Bible College. Now, that was an experience in itself. And I suppose my rebellious nature came to the fore a bit. If I wasn't going into trouble, I was coming out of trouble. And I remember the matron saying to me one day, she said, sister, if you don't smarten up your ideas, you'll never make a missionary and you'll never be any good in the work of God. And I just thought to myself, well, I'll show you. And here I am. And it's all of the Lord's doing. And there were those who, well, how should I put it? There were those in Bible college, and, you know, they were very saintly, I suppose to use a word, and they were never in any bother, not like me. And, you know, tonight, I don't know where some of them are. They're definitely not in the Lord's work. But the year that I started, there was 32 of us in my year, and quite a number of girls. And I think tonight I could count on my one hand the number of girls that are still in God's work. But that's between those folk and the Lord. And then I was there for 2 years. Well, it's supposed to be 2 years. And to put it very politely, the principal came to me and a few others, and they said, I think yous would really benefit from another year in Bible college. And I thought to myself, yeah, they don't trust us to go out into the work. They probably think we'd be a disaster. And so I ended up there for a third year. And when I was in college, God confirmed to me that Canada was where he wanted me. And one of the verses the Lord gave me was in the book of Exodus. And I'm sure some of you know it. Exodus chapter 33 and the verse 14. And it says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And I had been asking the Lord for a word that I would know that it definitely was his will. And he said, that was the promise the Lord gave to me. And so I'm so thankful for that. Thankful tonight that the Lord called me to salvation. And I rejoice tonight that the Lord called me to service. I'm very inadequate in myself, but the Lord enabled and helped me. And so I ended up in Canada. I was worried about the distance. I ended up 6,000 miles from home out in British Columbia. But what an experience. What an experience. And the Lord was with us. I'll never forget it. I had just arrived in Canada, flew into Toronto, and Faith Mission were having their conferences. So after the conferences, the girl that I worked with, her, a lady, Kathy, she was older than my mother when I started to work with her. But anyway, Kathy and myself and Ken Clipsham, some of you may have known Ken and Louise when they were back in Northern Ireland living. But they got a new vehicle, and we were driving this from Toronto to Vancouver. And that was a real experience in itself, and it was the month of October. And we'd got as far as Calgary. And when we'd got as far as Calgary, we decided to go a little further and get somewhere to stay for the night. And it was a cold winter's night. And we got a few miles outside Calgary, and all of a sudden the vehicle began to just go like that there. And it rolled, and it rolled, and it rolled, and it rolled. And when it stopped rolling, fortunately, it landed on its wheels. And I was sitting in the front. Of course, the driver was over here in Canada. I was sitting in the front, and Kathy was in the back. And Kathy said all of a sudden, "Where's Joyce? Are you all right?" And I said, "Kathy, you're on top of me. Would you get moved?" And she had no seatbelt on, and she came out of where she was sitting, and her head was down where my feet were. But you know, the Lord was so merciful to us. He really was. We all walked away from that. Not a scratch on us. And we were heading west, and there was a wee lady coming east, and her car began to slide, and of course she got the car stopped, and she got out in a panic, and the police were there and all the rest of it. And we went to a motel to stay the night. And the guy in the motel, he said to Ken, he said, "Tell me," he said, "you guys rolled a vehicle. You come in here and you're so calm. That wee woman there," he said, "she's ready for a heart attack, and she's just in an awful state. Why are you folks so calm about all of this?" So Ken was able to share the word of God with him and tell him how the Lord had protected us and how the Lord had looked after us. And the Lord did. The Lord did. We took the bus from there, and I'll never forget it either. Every time the bus went round a corner, it was at night, and every time a bus went round a corner, you thought to yourself, "Well, here we go again." But that was my introduction to Western Canada. But I worked in Canada, and I thank God tonight for it, for the lessons that He taught me, for the souls that we saw saved, and for the work of God that was done. The very first meetings that we held for children. I didn't go to Bible college to be a children's evangelist. I went to Bible college because the Lord had called me to serve Him. But I went to Canada, and that's what I ended up working with, the boys and the girls. And we went to many places where children had never heard the word of God. They didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus and how they needed to have their sins forgiven. But it was marvelous to have that opportunity of presenting the word of God to them. Very first place we went to for meetings was a wee community on the shores of the Okanagan Lake. And we were doing some visitation, and we'd separated for the visitation, and I was doing a row of houses, and we were putting leaflets through and tracks through the doors. And I finished what I was to do, and I was coming back along, and this window opened upstairs in this house. And this lady shouted at me. She said, "Will you stop? Come, I need to talk to you." And so I went to the door, and she said, "I've just read the wee tract you put through the door, and I've just asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I've just asked Him to save me." And I went in and had the opportunity to talk to that lady, and I felt that was a seal on the fact that the Lord had called me to serve Him. And as I say, we went to many, many rural communities where children knew nothing of the things of God. Shoveled snow by the cartload to get into places to have meetings. Learned to drive on snow and all the rest of it. But I rejoice in the mercy and the grace of God. I had been in Canada for a few years, and I began to feel that my time in Canada had come to an end. And there weren't many workers. And I sort of felt that I was, failing the rest of the workers. But God really burdened my heart about coming home and getting involved in a ministry amongst the children here. And I prayed much about it. I was home one Christmas, and I did actually go to see Reverend McElveen about the possibility of becoming involved in a children's ministry here at home. And I said to him, we talked, and I said, well, I need to pray some more about it. I need to know that I'm doing the right thing and that this is the direction that the Lord wants to take me. And so after I got back, I was reading in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is the word the Lord gave me. Now, I've lost my place. It was that word where it says, oh yes, here we go. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, and the Lord was speaking, and he said, ye have composited this mountain long enough, turn and go north. And I really felt that was the Lord saying to me, it's time to leave, and it's time to go back north, back to the north of Ireland. And it was a very difficult thing to leave Canada. It really was. I had so many friends. I loved the work. And it was very, very difficult. I came home not really knowing if the mission board would accept me or not. But I came home and made my application. Went to see all these elderly grey men sitting around a table, and you're sitting there and your knees are knocking and your heart's thumping. And, they're all looking at you and you think, is this what I should be doing? But put in my application, and I was successful. In the presbytery of 1988, I was accepted as a worker under our board to work amongst the children. And I rejoiced. I did, because I knew the Lord had called me. And it began a new chapter in my life, a new chapter. And the Lord has enabled and helped over these years. When I started out under the mission board, there was no warm schools and no warm orange halls. Many in Orange Hall, I carried a container of gas or a bag of coal up the stairs into it to get the place warmed up for the children coming. You had a little fire in an orange hall at maybe lunchtime, and to get it warmed up for the boys and girls. And back then, and I'm making myself sound very old, but back then children would come to meetings, and you'd have seen them coming. And we would have had loads of children coming to meetings in orange halls and in mission halls. And I was chatting to Muriel and Hazel there a week ago, and I can remember it, even Muriel and Hazel's, the children getting off the bus at the bottom of the lane and running up the lane and coming into Hazel's house, and the front room jammed to capacity. I hardly had standing room. And those were marvellous meetings that we had, not only in Muriel's, but in Orange Halls and Mission Halls. But unfortunately, things have changed. But that's how it goes. I drive sometimes and I think to myself, where is everybody rushing to? So many no thought of God, no thought of eternity, no thought of salvation. I wonder tonight, is that you? You're just going through the routine and going through the ritual. Your everyday life, you rise, you go to work, you come home, you get your dinner, you watch television, and you go to bed, and you get up and do the same thing the next day. And really no purpose to your life, because you're not saved. You've never put your faith and your trust in Christ as your Saviour. Our prayer is that you will. Things greatly changed, and it got to the stage where we couldn't be in mission halls or in orange halls by ourselves to minister to the boys and girls. And so I sought the Lord, and I thought, Lord, where are we going to go from here? And the Lord has opened a wonderful door in our schools. And it's just a tremendous opportunity to go into the schools and present the Word of God, go in for assembly. A number of our schools, I go in to do a week of meetings, Some of them are after school, P1 to 3, 2 o'clock to 3, and P4 to 7, 3 o'clock to 3:45. And when you've had P1 to 3 for an hour, you feel like some diazepam or something. Lay down in a darkened room for a while, because it's all action choruses and all the rest of it. But I rejoice tonight in the ministry that he's given to me. Some schools I go in first thing in the morning and would have the children for a week. Some I go at lunchtime and take the meetings for a week. Others I would go maybe on a Monday and do P1, Tuesday P2, and right through to the end of the week. There's one school I go to, and I go during parent-teacher week, and I have the children from 1:15 to 2 o'clock. They all go home when mummies and daddies are coming to see how they get along. And I have all of the children in the assembly hall. And it's absolutely amazing. I thank God tonight for fruit that remains. And for those who have trusted Christ in meetings over the years, and they love the Lord, they serve the Lord, and they're raising their wee families up to love the Lord. The Lord has been gracious and the Lord has been good. And I ask you tonight to continue to pray for the work amongst our children. Please pray that all of the schools will open up again for assembly. Some have, but there are others haven't. And I look forward to the day when they do all open up. Pray for us as the summer comes along, that we might be able to have all of our camps and holiday Bible clubs. Our mission board camp, and it's only, well, it's been full now for 2 weeks. Our mission board camp is full to capacity. I think there's 60. But anyway, I said to somebody, I'm so delighted that the camps are being brought back this year. And they said to me, I didn't think you were that fond of sleepless nights. Well, I'm not really. But it'll be a joy to get together with the young folks. And Sandown Road Camp will be a residential this year as well. So please pray for these efforts, that as the children come, that they will come to know Christ as their Saviour. Over this last few days, there's been a hymn rattling through my head. And you'd often heard it sung in meetings as a solo. And it says, I have made my choice forever, twixt this world and God's dear Son. Nought can change my mind, no, never. He my heart has fully won. Take the world with all its pleasures. Take them one and all. Give me Christ, my precious Saviour. And that's how it is tonight. He is fairer than them all. And so he is. I have no regrets tonight of coming to Christ when I was young. That call to salvation. I have no regrets at serving the Lord. As people sometimes say to me, oh, you've missed out on this and you've missed out on that and you've missed out on other things. I don't feel I've missed out on anything, because the Lord has been with me and the Lord has enabled me and helped me. Can I say again, if you're here and you're not saved, you come tonight and trust the Saviour. If you're here as a young person, stick with young people. Keep together and serve the Lord together. And maybe there's some here tonight as a young person, and the Lord will lead you when you're old enough to become a missionary, to become a minister, to become a Sunday school teacher, to become a children's worker, to take the office of an elder, to take up the office of committee in the church. The Lord, you don't have to go to the foreign field to serve the Lord. We can serve the Lord in so many capacities. I thank God tonight for salvation. I trust tonight that you're saved and that you're seeking to live for the Lord. Thank you.
He said to Joyce it would be happy for her to sing that wee piece to us, just to bring the meeting to a close. We're very thankful to her for the word of testimony that we've heard, the challenge that has come to her hearts. We do thank the Lord for his guiding hand in her sister's life those years in Canada, and sowing the seed of the gospel there. We're thinking earlier of that verse, cast your bread upon the waters, and it shall return unto you after many days. We pray that our sister will yet hear of others that have come to Christ through our labours, even out there in Canada, all of those years ago, just to encourage our heart. We thank the Lord for directing her back here to Northern Ireland, to the ministry province-wide that she's had. We pray the Lord will still give her many fruitful years in his service. One thing is certain, the work among the boys and girls is more important than ever, more needful than ever, even in the light of what our sister highlighted, the spiritual dearth that there is in the land. Sadly, parents aren't just as concerned about their children being at Sunday school or being in the children's meeting as once they were. I was thinking of that verse recorded in Judges 2 and 10 that describes the spiritual condition of the land of Israel at that time. It says, there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And you know, that's sadly the case of our land. There's a generation arising in this blessed and favoured land of Ulster that knows not the Lord. So we need to take that on our hearts. We need to pray the Lord will turn the tide spiritually. If there's one thing our land needs, it's for the Lord to raise up a generation that knows him, and a generation that fears him, and a generation that loves him. So what a difference that would make. So remember, sister, pray that those doors will open again that she's mentioned into the schools, and all the work among the children over the summer times, how busy that is, holiday Bible clubs and all of those things. The circumstances will allow all of that to go ahead once again. So take our sister upon your heart. Remember her needs, the need of financial support for her work and for her ministry. We still have some of her sister's prayer cards on the board downstairs in the hall. And if you'd like to give a gift to help her sister, give that to one of the treasurers and we'll be able to pass that on to the board. And remember as well the need of the monthly covenant support, the little section of the card there, generally off to the right as you look at the card. If you'd like to help her sister with the regular support, fill out that card and send it down to Mrs. Graham in the Mission Board office. But it's been a blessing to have Joyce with us and have the children's work highlighted. May the Lord bless you, give you a great year ahead. It was nice to hear of Mrs. Spence and the Lord's hand upon her ministry all of those years ago. The folk here will know better than me. I remember in the early years when I came, when Mrs. Spence was still in good health, she was very keen, as Cecil was, to be out on the doors with us on outreach. And I remember her at doors witnessing clearly and earnestly to men and women of their need of Christ and the urgency of coming to Christ in salvation. She was a faithful and an earnest soul winner right to the end of her days. Folk, we're going to sing just a couple of verses as we bring the meeting to a close tonight. 264, in loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. Just the first two verses and the choruses of 264, and again we'll stand as we sing, please.
Amen.
Let's just pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do want to praise thee tonight for your hand upon this meeting. Thank you for enabling us to be here. We're very mindful, Father, of those that are absent from our midst, who would long to be with us tonight. Draw near to each one that is unwell, prevented from being here tonight because of ill health. May they know the touch of God upon them. But we thank you, Father, for being present with us thyself. We thank you for using our sister in her midst tonight, and the challenge that has come to her hearts of that vital ministry among the children, the boys and girls. Lord, remember the rising generation in this province of ours. We are saddened, Father, by the lack of concern in many homes with many parents. We pray that the fear of God will once again come upon this land of ours. We pray there will be a deeper conviction, a deeper concern in homes and families, that their children are brought to hear and to be taught the word of God. We ask to use our sister in this coming year, years to come. Pray that she might be long spared to labour and to teach the children the truths of the gospel. But we want to pray that you'll give her a blessed year as we come out of these years of pandemic. Pray that circumstances will allow many meetings among the children to be held. Open up all those school assemblies again. We pray you'll give her sister the anointing of God. We pray that you'll use her. And Lord, our prayer is that she'll be able to come rejoicing, bringing her sheaves with her. Be with us, Father, as we leave. We ask that we'll be conscious that the Lord is with us on the journey home, and that the Lord is with us through the week in all we have to do. May it be evident to us in all our circumstances that the hand of God is upon us, guiding us and helping us. And we pray, Father, that you'll spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode our souls arrive in peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.